to 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for the vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, "You, go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you." So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You go in the vineyard too." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now, when those hired first came, they thought that would be receiving more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "This last worked only an hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day of the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the word of the Lord. And we're now going to ask you to remain standing because Ramtin is going to read in Farsi.
راحت کلام خدا یافت می شود در عهد جدید انجیل متی باب 20 از آیات 1 الی 16. زیرا ملکوت آسمان صاحب خانه ای را ماند که بامدادان بیرون رفت تا عمله به جهت تاکستان خود به مزد گیرد. پس با عمله روز 1 دینار قرار داده ایشان را به تاکستان خود فرستاد و قریب به ساعت 3 بیرون رفته بعض دیگر را در بازار بیکار ایستاده دید. ایشان را نیز گفت: شما هم به تاکستان بروید و آنچه حق شماست به شما می دهم. پس رفتند. باز قریب به ساعت 6 و 9 رفته همچنین کرد و قریب به ساعت 11 رفته چند نفر دیگر بیکار ایستاده یافت. ایشان را گفت: از بهر چه تمامی روز در اینجا بیکار ایستاده اید؟ گفتندش: هیچ کس ما را به مزد نگرفت. بدیشان گفت: شما نیز به تاکستان بروید و حق خیش را خواهید یافت. و چون وقت شام رسید، صاحب تاکستان به ناظر خود گفت: مزدوران را طلبیده از آخرین گرفته تا اولین مزد ایشان را ادا کن. پس 11 ساعتیان آمده هر نفر دیناری یافتند و اولین آمده گمان بردند که بیشتر خواهند یافت، ولی ایشان نیز هر نفر دیناری یافتند. اما چون گرفتند به صاحب خانه شکایت نموده گفتند: این آخرین 1 ساعت کار کردند و ایشان را با ما که متحمل سختی و حرارت روز گردیده ایم مساوی ساخته ای. او در جواب یکی از ایشان گفت: ای رفیق، بر تو ظلمی نکردم مگر به دیناری با من قرار ندادی؟ حق خود را گرفته و برو. میخواهم بدین آخری مثل تو دهم. آیا مرا جایز نیست که از مال خود آنچه خواهم بکنم؟ مگر چشم تو بد است از آن رو که من نیکو هستم؟ بنابراین اولین آخرین و آخرین اولین خواهد شد، زیرا خوانده شدگان بسیارند و برگزیدگان کم. خداوند کلامش رو برکت بده.
This is the world of the Lord. You may be seated.
So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Well, that's not fair. I know Jesus said it. It's still not fair. And it bothers us that Jesus would tell us that this is the nature of the kingdom of God. We expect God to be just, and we expect his kingdom to be fair. So why does Jesus tell us a parable which we must conclude is not fair at all and tells us this is the nature of the kingdom of God? I mean, you understand. I understand. If I were to say to one of my sons, I'll give you $20 and you clean out the garage, it will take you all day, but do the work and I'll pay you. And if one of my sons begins at 8 in the no, let me see, not 8 in the if one of my sons begins at 10 in the morning and works until dusk, but his brother joins him at about 5 p.m. and I pay them both the same amount, I do not imagine that I have two happy sons. One of them is going to say, that is not fair. Why would Jesus say such things? Because he is undermining every notion of the currency of human merit before God. He wants us to understand that it is his delight to bless the work of his calling, work that starts early or work that starts late. That which is fulfilled according to God's purposes is valuable to God. And that is clear as we begin to see what the master, representing God himself, values by how he rewards his workers. I mean, clearly, God values the labor that begins early. In verses 1 and 2, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, that's a day's wage, he sends them out. And we know the conclusion of their work in verse 10. Those who were hired first came. They thought they would receive more, but each of them received a denarius. They agreed to a day's wage. They got a day's wage. What they had contracted for, what their purpose was, they got paid for that. The master clearly values the work that starts early. And for those of us who may begin work early in the kingdom of God, a previous generation, those earlier establishing a church, those doing the work of God for a lifetime, it is important to know that God values our work. Even if other work comes later, the early work is as valued as the later work. For most of the last decade, I've pastored a church just south of Chicago, and in going to that church after several years in academic work, I had a few things to relearn about being a pastor and very much depended upon the wisdom and the advice of some of my elders. And one of them who was particularly helpful to me in my early days in that pastorate later wrote me after the passing away of his mother something that he had learned about her. This is what my elder wrote to me. It's been a few weeks since there's more of God's grace to me. As I sat in a Sunday school class in my mother's home church, the class teacher, who was also my high school English teacher, said something in the beginning of the class to the effect of, there are two women in this community that are the spiritual giants of our community. And then he named them, Tammy Olmsted and my mother. The elder wrote, I had never thought of my mother as a spiritual giant. As a matter of fact, when I was growing up, like many boys, my mother was something of an embarrassment to me. But Tammy Olmsted, now there was the type of mother a boy wanted to have. She was full of energy. She raised five boys. She taught Sunday school class for decades and led many to the Lord. After that Sunday school class, I went home and shared with my father what the teacher in Sunday school had said about my mother. Said my father, "Well, you know, your mother led Tammy Olmsted to the Lord." Now, which work was more important? The later work of Tammy Olmsted that brought others to the Lord, or the early work of the mother that brought Tammy to the Lord? And I think you recognize that God had his purposes for the labor of each moment. The early work was as important as the later work. Of course, the master here is valuing the later work as well. There is a pattern in the parable. You recognize it. Verse 1, the master goes out early in the morning to hire laborers. But by verse 3, he goes out again at the third hour and hires more. Verse 5, the sixth hour and the ninth hour. Verse 6, he goes again toward the end of the day, the 11th hour, and still hires more. And of course, verse 10 is going to assure us they all get paid the same amount. The late work is valued too. Now, if you want to have some fun someday, go and examine why some of the commentators believe that the later laborers were paid just as much as the early laborers. Some will say there was obviously a storm coming. They had to get those grapes out of the vineyard. Others, of course, want to be more scientific. They will tell us that in that particular part of the Middle East, there are peculiar strains of grapes that have to be harvested with just in a few hours in order to have the right sugar content. There is just absolutely crucial that those later laborers work. And if you hear those explanations, I hope you say, "Oh, come on. Nobody knows." All we know is that the later labor was just as important as the early labor. I was here in Dallas 2 years ago when the China Partnership was recruiting people for the work of the gospel in China. And it was doing so in the wake of Wang Yi, the pastor of the Early Rain Covenant Church, having been arrested and sentenced to 9 years in prison. He still is in prison to this day. The man who was leading the China Partnership here in the States, some of you may know, and I'm not going to give his full name, but Enoch was here leading. And he talked about how conflicted he was to be here in the States while his friend and pastoral leader, Wang Yi, was in prison in China. Our leader here in the States, Enoch, said just in the final weeks before Wang Yi was arrested that Enoch had visited Wang Yi in his home and been treated to a sumptuous gourmet meal. And Enoch had said to Wang Yi, "Well, you eat very fine for a man who is in trouble with the authorities." Wang Yi responded, "All of this year, I have anticipated being arrested every day. And so I have put on 20 pounds to gain weight for the deprivations of my imprisonment. But the soldiers have never come." Enoch left. 5 days later, the soldiers came. Wang Yi and his wife were imprisoned. And as Enoch addressed us here in Dallas, he told us the story. "When I learned that my friend and pastor had been arrested, and yet I had not faced those deprivations, I said to those who were here, 'I must go back. I must go to prison with my friend.' And the Christian leaders here in the States said, 'No, we actually need you now that Wang Yi is in prison. We need you to be organizing the efforts of Christians back in China from this safe place.'" It reminded me of the account of the Apostle Paul at Ephesus, when you may remember 20,000 people gathered demanding blood, screaming hour after hour, great is Artemis of the Ephesians, great is Artemis of the Ephesians. And what did the Apostle Paul say? Great, we've got them all together. Let me go witness. And it was other Christians who said, no, Paul, we need you. He was spared. Enoch was spared. And some of you are well aware, some of you of Iranian background who are here, that what is happening in China right now is that China believers are preparing for the fall of a secular, atheistic government. They are waiting the day when the real estate financial crisis, the inability of families to multiply, to maintain the economy, the denigration of anybody who's not male within the society, when that so erupts in the society that people say, once a communist government provides no hope, where is there hope in the world? And so Christians are preparing for the fall of an empire so that the kingdom of God would be established. There is a man who is in prison who is witness to the necessity of standing for the truth of God. And there is a man who is free, who is preparing to take the message of the freedom that is in Christ Jesus. Which is more important? No. Each is fulfilling the calling of God. And as I think of those of you who are from Persian background, Iranian backgrounds, I recognize that when Hamid speaks of preparing more for the work, there are those who are here. We think of Ramtin, Pastor Ramtin. The early work, the willingness to suffer, the willingness to be persecuted, to stand strong for the faith, and say, well, that work surely was more important than the future work. No. Each for his day, each according to his calling, as a sovereign God is working according to his wisdom to do the work of the vineyard, that he may establish the harvest of his own choosing in his time in the way that he knows is best. It is not merely because he values the work. It's because he values the laborers themselves. Each chosen, each precious for the purposes of God. You know the account. There are those who are working early, so they add much to the work of the kingdom. And so they are rightly paid. The end of verse 10. They receive their day's wage. There's blessing in that. That there will be a day that those great servants of God who have fulfilled their purpose and their calling hear echoed in the halls of heaven, well done, good and faithful servant. God values the laborers who are faithful to his purposes. And we can't measure by human currency what that faithfulness will be like. My wife comes from a very small town in Illinois. And we have recently moved from our church to do the job that I'm currently doing for the denomination. We had to downsize, carry boxes, take away books. And in that move, I came across an old newspaper article about a Sunday school teacher in my wife's hometown. This article. Woodburn, town of huge metropolis of 300 people. Woodburn woman draws strength from completing 60 years of teaching Sunday school. The newspaper reporter said this, Ruth Bullion was hesitant to talk about the rare accomplishment of teaching Sunday school for 60 years. Her initial reaction was, you can talk about me when I'm dead. But she agreed to talk upon the condition that it be made clear that everything that she had done was to be credited to her Heavenly Father. She said, I started teaching when I was 17 and knew almost immediately that it was my calling to work with little children. She took teaching as a nearly full-time avocation, starting early each week, preparing for the following Sunday school. She was a poor woman. She made her money, her living, cleaning other people's homes. But she said, nothing is more important than the thing for which God called me, teaching little ones that they are here for God's purposes, and he will give them the ability to do what they are called to do. I couldn't help but think of Ruth Bullion after Kathy and I had moved away from the church that we have loved being with for the last decade. After we had moved, one of the families that we love so dearly learned that the father of five children, young children, with a young wife, that the father had a terrible brain cancer. One evening, his wife called my wife. And as I listened to my wife speak with wisdom and comfort from God's word, I must tell you, I heard the voice of Ruth Bullion, generation upon generation, the early work and the later work fulfilled according to God's purposes in ways we could never have fathomed or imagined, as God was fulfilling his purposes through those he valued who were not counting their value according to human measures, but according to God's purposes. It is not just those who work long and add much that receive a reward. They actually receive a kind of rescue. In Jesus' account, he says at least twice to those who are standing around in the marketplace, "Why are you standing here idle, accomplishing nothing?" He says that, as you may recall, at the end of verse 6. He repeats it again later on. "Why are you standing," verse 3 and 6, "here idle in the marketplace?" He gives them work to do. He's not just rewarding them with a denarius. He is rescuing them. Listen, he is rescuing them from doing nothing. The Apostle Peter reminds us that if we are following the calling of God, we have been rescued from an empty way of life. The Apostle Paul reminds us, "Stand firm, let nothing move you, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." How many people standing for the Lord believe that their work is in vain? "I am staying in this hard marriage, and it does not seem to help anyone. This must be in vain." There are young people who are remaining faithful in integrity and purity when their peers are not, and they must wonder at times, "Is this worth anything? Is this just useless?" And there are those who take the gospel into lands and governments where they may not ever see in their own lifetime the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And they may wonder of themselves, "Was this just useless?" What does the gospel respond? "Stand firm. Let nothing move you, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." We have been rescued from that. God will use the labor that is done for him because the value he places upon those who are serving him, those who do a lot, those who do a little, even those who begin to subtract. I mean, that's what's so amazing. I mean, he speaks to those early laborers who at some point get discouraged. "We've worked so long and done so much, and there's so little effect." And they begin to begrudge the generosity of the master. Do you remember? They actually grumble at the master, verse 11. And they say, "These other people only worked 1 hour. You've made them equal to us who've borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." Will there ever be believers who say that? "Lord, we worked so hard. We did so much. Why should other people receive reward?" How does the master respond to the grumblers who are subtracting from the mercy of the master? One important word, verse 13. He replied to one of them, "Friend." I'm not doing you wrong. Do not begrudge my generosity. You have to know how this parable started. The rich young ruler has just left. The dust of his departure is still in the air. The man who thought that his merits and his work would get him into the kingdom of God and leaves frustrated when it's not his merits or his money that will get him into the kingdom. But the apostles are still understanding the gospels themselves. So after the rich young ruler walks away, Peter leans over to Jesus and says, "Oh Lord, what do we get who have given up everything to follow you?" And Jesus then tells an awful parable. You get as much as those who come late. Same as those who come early. The first will be last and the last will be first. Why does Peter need to hear that? I did not ask our Bible readers to read toward the end of the same chapter. Immediately after the parable concludes, verse 16, the last will be first and the first last, we learn this from Matthew. Verse 17, and as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside, and on the way he said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. And he will be raised on the third day." But not before Peter does what three times? What does Peter do three times? Denies him, betrays him, begrudges the mercy that sends Jesus to the cross. And how does Peter still want to be addressed? But, "Friend, do not begrudge my generosity. You too shall need my grace." And receives it. It is the blessing of God to know that our labor is valued, not because we do more than someone or less than someone or the world will ever account it, but our Father in heaven is merciful to his people who are undeserving of his grace, may even begrudge it, as we look to him and trust his mercy. Can it possibly be? As I was here for that meeting of the China Partnership, one of the people who was the supporters of that ministry was a businessman. And he talked about a trip that he made to China, and he went to visit one of the people that he supported, a young woman who had worked in the Chinese school teaching English as a second language, a means to share the gospel. But she was discouraged, because so many people who had gone into China to teach English as a second language had used it as a way of getting the gospel. The government was watching very closely and monitoring very much. As the businessman came into the school district, he heard a young woman on a playground singing a song, "Amazing Grace, that saved a wretch like me." And the businessman asked the young woman, do you know what you're singing? Do you know what grace is?" She said, "No. Our English teacher taught us the song, but never explained what it meant." The businessman explained what it meant, and the young woman turned to Jesus Christ as her Savior. Later, the businessman went to the school teacher that he supported. "How has your summer gone here teaching English as a second language?" She said, "Terrible. Terrible." She began to grumble. "The government is watching. We can't do anything. I could only teach a song and couldn't tell the truth." Business said, "But God was at work." Friends, the Lord is at work. He values the labor that is done early and late. He values the laborers who add a whole lot, and those who by the world's measure add very little. And even he values those who by the world's failures and sin begrudge the grace of God. When we turn to him, he has amazing grace for wretches like us. This is the beauty and blessing of the gospel, of a God who is not fair, but is wonderfully merciful to those who turn to him. Amen. What a blessing, brother, that you would take such grace to a people who know the world's values, but you have learned the King's values, and you now go to share them. We praise you. We praise you for following in the steps of Pastor Ramtin. We praise you to follow in the steps of those who have suffered for their faith, and perhaps you. But always remember, the Lord of the vineyard keeps you from doing anything useless. When you serve him, your labor in the Lord will never be in vain. Stand firm. Let nothing move you. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Father, thank you for a man who is giving his life to the spread of the gospel. Thank you for the people who gather to encourage him in this work. Would you keep them strong in the faith, regardless of what the world may throw at them, how the world may deride and ridicule their stand. May they hear the gospel and the commendation of the Heavenly Father. Well done, good and faithful servant. Your labor has never been in vain. For this we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand and sing How Firm a Foundation. The words are in your worship guide.